Like, I didn't take very many journalism classes in college.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I never wanted to be a journalist. My dream was always just to get these takes off. Just to be able to get on here and get these takes off recklessly. I don't need to be held to any type of ethical standard. No thanks.
Airing every day from noon to 3.
But the one thing I do remember were the different rules for public figures, right? When it came to slander, when it came to, like, the tabloids get, like, a bypass with celebrities because, they're public figures.
On 1340 WKGN.
That was like the whole Hulk Hogan's basis of his lawsuit was like, yeah, Hulk Hogan's a celebrity. Hulk Hogan's the one with the 10-inch penis. Terry Bollea, he's a real person. He's not a celebrity. He's got a 4-inch penis.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 3 is brought to you by MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Docsville when you sign up or when you deposit. They will match your bonus 100% up to $1,000. Rollover, terms and conditions apply. Let's see, what do we got on the docket tonight? We got some football, but not good football. We got some good NBA games. I've been enjoying the NBA a lot. DVR is now my best friend. I think I have almost weaned myself from the need of live commenting on games. I think I'm almost over it where I have to like be able to comment live because too many games are on. So I'm having to DVR 3 or 4 games and then just watch them in increments. Like last night I had Tennessee – Murray State on. I don't know if you noticed. I didn't send any tweets during the game. I was watching on, you know, a little bit delayed. I was watching the Hawks and Trae Young. And I've been DVRing the Lakers games so that I could watch Lakers and Suns. That was a good game. And I'm just fast-forwarding through all of them. Boom, boom, boom. Not missing anything. I've been really enjoying the NBA and basketball. And now that Tennessee's back, yeah, I had to catch it too. Tonight we got, let me see, take the kind of feeling like you should take the Rockets. That's my pick for today. Rockets on TV tonight against the Clippers. Rockets -2. You could take that one if you want a TV game. But my official best pick of the night, mark it down, Cam. We're going to start keeping track of this. Best pick of the night, Raptors +2.5 in Portland. If it's not on your TV, I'm sorry I can't help you, but that's my pick of the day. Raptors +2.5 at Portland. Hour 3 headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Baker Mayfield is pleading with Browns fans to change something that they are doing during games. He says they're a little bit too loud when he's on the field. Cleveland's offense was trying to score a touchdown after coming away empty during an earlier trip to the red zone on Sunday against the Bills. Despite the issues in the red zone, the Browns were able to edge the Bills 19-16. We believed we had a good call, Mayfield said of a fourth down play via the team's official website. It was just that our crowd noise seemed to be a little too loud when we needed it to be quiet, which is strange at a home game. He added, when we're on offense, we need it to be quiet.
That seems reasonable enough, right?
Sunday's comments about the fans might have ruffled some feathers once again. That's okay, Baker says. When we're on offense and a critical down, we need to be able to have silence in our home stadium. That will be an advantage for us, and when they get the ball, it's going to be really loud. It's, you know, basic football.
I think that is pretty basic.
It's a pretty basic request, but everything that Baker Mayfield says is going to be a story.
Yeah, but if we're on offense, hey, be quiet. Makes sense. I understand that. Got no problem with that one. Unless they're booing Baker Mayfield.
I would have no problem with that one.
Yeah, that would make me laugh.
Jets CEO Christopher Johnson says that Adam Gase will return next year as the coach in New York. Despite a 2-7 record right now, the Jets CEO says he will not be making a change. He indicated that the embattled Adam Gase will be back in 2020. He informed his team of this last Wednesday, that Adam Gase would not be going anywhere. Although he did call the poor season exceedingly frustrating.
Okay.
Apparently, Gase has been able to keep the team unified.
They had a big win. They at least felt good for a week. Jamal Adams balled out for them against the Giants. So maybe he'll get to keep his job as long as they're not the biggest train wreck in New York. And right now, they have the New York Giants and the New York Knicks to kind of hide behind. So everything's okay for the Jets.
Yeah, and they also have experienced a rash of injuries. A couple other injury notes from the Monday night game. Tyler Lockett is out of the hospital, and he is on a plane flying back to Seattle. The 49ers' Emmanuel Sanders is apparently he's not a game-time decision. Hang on. He has a damaged rib. No, it says he is a game-time decision.
Okay.
Damaged rib cartilage. Suffered by
Sanders. You can play with damaged ribs. It's okay.
That seems hard, though. Hard to breathe, you know?
Just got to catch the ball and get down. Don't take any big hits.
I feel like a rib injury is rough. But, yes, Kyle Shanahan says he'll be day-to-day, probably end up being a game-time decision. How do you breathe with rib injuries? I've never had one. I've always heard they're just awful, though.
I broke my ribs in a car wreck in high school.
Was it awful?
You're sore from what I remember.
You didn't have trouble breathing?
Nah, not really breathing. Couldn't really lift anything or, you know, just use it as an excuse not to go to school for a while, but.
You had broken ribs?
Mm-hmm. Nah, I don't know if they're broken. The doctor told me the broken and bruised are the same pain-wise. Like, they're the same thing. I guess they heal themselves if they're broken. So, like I said, it wasn't a big deal. So, it was the same thing. So, I don't know if they were actually broken or bruised, but they were banged up and they treated them as if they were broken. Said there was no reason to, like, differentiate, I guess.
I'm getting hungry.
Not a big rib guy. Had ribs at the Titans tailgate. I'm not a big rib guy.
Yeah, me some baby backs for lunch.
I had some really good ribs.
Do you not even like beef ribs?
Not really.
I know you don't like pork, but yeah. Beef rib, like a good beef rib?
Not really. Not particularly.
To each their own. Apparently, according to the Sentinel, officials at Neyland Stadium are expecting up to 85,000 fans for the Garth Brooks show on Saturday at Neyland. 85,000 fans with people coming from all 50 states and 11 countries.
Breaking news, please hit the horn.
Woo, 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 woo.
I have acquired my two Garth Brooks tickets.
Oh.
Shout out to listener Jordan for DMing me and hooking me up on a price, and we will now be going to the Garth Brooks concert together.
Congratulations. Yeah. Together?
Well, I mean, I assume I'll be sitting next to him. He said he had two extra. I don't. Maybe the seats aren't next to him, but I assume.
So you got two tickets for you?
Two tickets for me. Me and a plus one.
And plus one, huh?
Me and Kendall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were still trying to decide.
No, okay. Me and Kendall.
Okay.
Also,
I didn't want to go anywhere.
The Nets.
Oh. Amon Shumpert did sign with the Nets. New Kingsguard, Amon Shumpert.
I do not care about Amon Shumpert, as I've made very clear on this show many times.
He is no longer a Kingsguard. He has been upgraded to the new, to the Brooklyn Nets.
Apparently, opening act is John Pardee.
I just know off the top of my head that song, Head Over Boots.
This is going to be like a game day. If they get 85,000 people in there, I mean, that's going to be... It's going to be a really big crowd. That's like a game day.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be drinking at this.
Yeah, even 13-year-olds.
How many fights you think?
You don't fight while listening to Garth. He's not like you're going to listen to Lil Jon or
fights,
Lil Scrappy. Or
fights are going to break out. There's going to be a few fights.
Crime Mob or...
Over-under.
There'll be no fights at the Garth
Brooks
concert. I'm
going to say over under 10 fights at the Garth concert.
No, under. Hammer the under. What are they going to be fighting over? What are they going to be fighting over?
People get.
He has a song called People Loving
you're gonna
People.
You're going to get 85,000 drunk rednecks in one place.
He's got a song called People Loving People.
People fighting people is what it's going to be. There's going to be some fights. We'll check the police reports on Monday. John Rothstein of CBS.
How are you going to fight at a Garth Brooks concert? Real fans versus fake fans? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I hope you get in a fight and then you got to come on the air and we'll look back on it. I thought you said you couldn't get in a fist fight at a Garth concert.
Well, I also told you
this
I'm on edge.
This guy spilled his beer on me.
This guy told me Friends in Low Places is Garth's best song.
There's going to be stuff. There's going to be guy spilling beer and some guy in a bunch of dudes in a cowboy hat. You know,
I'm not going to lie. I'm not as excited for this concert as possible because I know he's not going to play the deep cuts. I like the deep cuts.
Gotta play the hits.
That's what I'm worried about. I know.
Gotta play the hits.
I know.
I feel like Colin Baton Rouge would be pretty cool.
They're going
to
play that.
It's just got such a good rhythm to it. I love that song.
They'll play it.
I don't love it as much as LSU fans love it, but I love it.
Don't you worry. They will get down on the fiddle. And then they'll scream, "Last night in the arms of a girl from Louisiana!"
What if he changes it to Tennessee?
I don't think he will, because I don't even think Tennessee fans want that.
From Tennessee.
I don't even think fans want that.
Oh, yeah. All those people freak out.
No, they want to scream Louisiana.
Oh, you think he'll play Rocky Top?
Maybe, actually.
Maybe.
Or at least let the band do it a little bit.
Do a couple for the hometown crowd.
He's got a soft spot in his heart for Knoxville. I'm pretty sure that's where him and Trisha first performed together, whenever he was still married to his other wife. But that's when the affair started.
Oh, really?
I believe that's true.
Yeah, people forget that. He's an adulterer.
I know. Many people, we just kind of let them slide on that, let them just gallivant their love. And yeah. I guess his ex-wife probably made many of millions of dollars in the divorce settlement. Although, always say money isn't happiness, and it would suck to get cheated on in front of the whole world. But
are they both still gaining weight?
I think Garth lost a little.
Has he?
I think Trisha's still finding Garth.
She's still pretty heavy.
She's finding Garth that he's losing.
CBS Sports' John Rothstein says sources are saying that North Carolina, Villanova, Purdue, and Tennessee are going to headline the 2021 Hall of Fame tip-off at Mohegan Sun. Is that in Vegas?
I don't know.
Know where Mohegan Sun is.
Oh, it's in Connecticut, actually. I did know that.
Okay.
Because I read about it earlier. It's in Connecticut.
Well, it's the 2021 Hall of Fame tip-off, so that'll be...
I assume that's two seasons from now?
Yes, it's got to be.
Yeah.
2020, because it wouldn't be in...
2021.
It wouldn't be after January.
Be tipping off, yeah.
So
maybe we won't even be good that year. Who knows? All of our good players might be in the NBA.
Man, I hope we're good. That's a strong four there.
UNC, Nova, Purdue, and Tennessee.
Yep.
Our rivalry with Purdue.
We got to play Purdue every year.
Our rivalry with Purdue just carries on.
It continues to happen, yes.
No, I'm out on the highway. My thoughts are still with her.
What now?
That's a good one. Call him Baton Rouge. That's a good one.
It is a good one. I think it's very good. The NFL.
I just found it a little weird that he was drinking sweet red wine, though. Even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't seem like something country singers are supposed to be bragging about drinking. Maybe that's the stereotype that I'm unfairly putting on people.
Red wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a country.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just beer and whiskey.
I guess he had to rhyme line.
Sweet red wine.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
Yeah. Either way.
Think Garth ever did drugs?
I would assume at some point. Maybe not, though. Maybe he's just got crazy energy himself. I told you when I was little, he used to just run around crazy and jump on things. It was almost like he was coked out, but I don't know.
Can you really be a rock star if you don't?
Yeah. I would say you could be.
Yeah, maybe. Do you think you ever had sex with other women on the road? Or was it just Trisha?
I would imagine there were others.
I would imagine there were several.
I would imagine there were others.
The NFL...
Never meet your heroes, folks.
The NFL has made a...
I can't listen to two of a kind going on a Full House the same way anymore.
Once I knew it's not
that,
real.
Once I knew that the woman he was singing about at the time wasn't, you know, the house... Full House is divided now. Now big-ass Trish is in there. I do still like it in another's eye, though. Although when I follow, you know, when you really listen to it and it's about being in love with someone else, I'm like, whoa. I bet his wife was so mad when they recorded that one.
I wonder if she knew.
She had to have known.
It would be hard. How could you? I mean, it'd be tough to be married to a guy like that. I mean, you got to know he's out on the road getting.
I guess she goes on the road with him.
She probably has to. She probably stays by his side all the time.
Plus, he's older now.
Yeah, he's probably not doing the same things he used to do. I don't know, though. Those old rock stars do. He might still be.
Once
a cheater, always a cheater.
I don't think the old rock stars are. I think you're just...
Mick Jagger just had a kid.
With his wife.
Yeah, but he changes out wives.
I mean, that's fine, but it's his wife. Not out.
I mean, Garth's only, what, 50-something?
Yeah.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Okay.
It's what I used to hear as a kid. I don't know if it's real or not. But
all right.
The NFL has made a December schedule change.
Ooh, we got a flex game.
Yeah, kickoff times decided. It's a rare triple header in Week 16. This coming from Jordan DeGianni of CBS Sports.
Ow, that's just apparently, a Saturday change, right? There.
Apparently, it's a rare thing. It's a triple header on a Saturday of Week 16.
They do that every the first Saturday when college football's over. They do that the first Saturday after the Army-Navy game.
Well, this says rare.
Maybe it's not a triple header. Maybe it's a double header. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's usually, I think it's a 4:30, 8 o'clock double header. It's usually not triple, I guess. Maybe that's why it's rare.
A triple header will take place on December 21st, the Saturday of Week 16. Texans at Bucks, 1 p.m.
Ugh.
Bills at Patriots, 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
Rams at Niners, 8:15 p.m.
That could be good, or the Rams could be completely eliminated by then.
This will mark the first time since 05 that the NFL has had a Saturday triple header.
Okay, yeah. So usually it's a double header?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, three
apologies
games.
To the ultimate professional, Jordan DeGianni. I didn't mean to question him. I thought you meant the Saturday games.
Yeah, first time they've had a Saturday triple header since 2005.
Yeah, I think usually it's just a double.
Pretty cool.
All right, good batch of headlines. Cody McClure, we'll be back on the other side. Maybe a baseball story, maybe. I don't know. We'll see if it interests you. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Be seeing this big baseball story that came out yesterday? Either one of you guys see it? Cam shaking his head no. Good job by you, Cam. Way to be our baseball expert.
I have not seen it.
Cody pretended to care about baseball for the 2 weeks after he got back
LA. I saw the award winners.
No, this is a bigger story. This is a huge story.
Well, I must have missed it.
About the cheating-ass Astros.
Oh, I did see something about that, but it didn't really pique my interest. I didn't look into it.
No?
No.
Well, what'd you see about it?
I saw the headline about it. I don't remember what it was.
Well, they are now busted for in 2017, at least in 2017.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they were talking about awarding
Series.
That to the Dodgers, awarding the World Series to the Dodgers.
Maybe they should have. Maybe they should now. Although, like, I guess from the research that I've seen that The Athletic has done and the other publications, it seems like this cheating that they did only happened in home games. And they did win Game 7 of the World Series on the road in Dodger Stadium. But
who knows if they ever would have got there without all the cheating.
What they were doing, they had cameras set up in the outfield. They were spying on catchers and their signals. And if it was an off-speed pitch, the people in the dugout were watching the camera and could see. And they would bang on a drum or bang on the trash can. And if you heard a loud bang, it was an off-speed pitch. If you know to sit off on the off-speed pitch, it's a lot easier to hit rather than if you're sitting there waiting, could it be a fastball or what?
Just pathetic.
Really pathetic. I mean, it really is pathetic, and a whistleblower got him. A former player, a pitcher who left in 2017 after the World Series, has been talking a lot about this, saying, yeah, cheating.
If you can't have integrity in baseball, where can you have it anymore?
Now, there's some things that you can look and say, look, it is a part of the game, tipping pitches, and, you know, the Yankees complained about it this year, too. The Yankees complained about it in their playoff series, said, hey, whenever a certain pitch is coming, you can hear whistling in the dugout.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, in 2017, they would just loudly bang on a trash can. And it's so loud where you could pick it up on the TV. I mean, they would see the camera, see where they're positioned, see the signals, because, I mean, you search the signs and you pick up on habits. And then, yeah, they would bang on the trash can really loud. And then you sit and you wait. And there's one really interesting video where they're in a duel. They're in a pitching battle. The pitcher's throwing really good off-speed pitches. He's trying to paint the corner with some fastballs right outside. And the pitchers are just on it. And he goes to set up. He hears the bang. He just calls timeout. He walks into his catcher, switches the signals, and then comes back and strikes him out with an off-speed pitch because he didn't hear the bang.
So it was a former player for the Astros that let that let that out of the bag?
Well, he's talking about, yeah, just how extensive it was. His name is Mike Fierce. He was a pitcher with the Astros in 2017. And he was talking about how, you know, he was a free agent after that, so the teams he went to in the next couple of years, he would tell their pitchers, hey, beware, because they are stealing your signals. Hmm. And he tried to make it a case of, like, hey, it's not fair for young pitchers to come up and get shellacked and get sent back to the minors if it's their first start or something. Says, hey, it's ruining people's careers.
Yeah.
And he said in 2018 he was with the Tigers, and the Tigers had nothing but young pitchers. He said, so I was extra protective of them because I didn't want them getting embarrassed and then, you know, going back, having to get sent back to the minors because it didn't look like they were ready.
That could be the difference in millions of dollars.
And I don't know if you remember Game 6 of the World Series. Steven Strasburg gave up 2 first-inning home runs. And then after the game said, my pitching coach said they were onto my signals. I switched them up, and then he went, was it seven in the third innings after that with shutout baseball? And just completely shut them down.
Well, now when I hear all this, it makes me happy the Nationals won.
Yeah, and like it would have to make you sick. 2017, your Dodgers, the Yankees have lost to them the last I think the Yankees lost them in 2017 too.
It does make me sick. I mean, I was sick in 2017 when we lost that series, and now I'm even sicker. I feel like they should have to give it up.
Like I said, there is some pitch tipping. If you're on second base and you pick up on some signals, I don't have a problem. And I don't think any baseball purists even actually have that big of a problem with, like, a guy on base helping out his hitter. I think that's gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. If you pick up on the signals and you can give a signal to your hitter, some people get upset about that. I think most people are like, that one's okay.
That's more natural.
Right. But, I think everyone has a problem if you are using technology in the outfield and watching a camera. That's cheating. That is not studying game film and picking up on tendencies. That is, we are stealing your signals live, and we know what you're pitching in the moment. It's like that poker player, man. Did you see anything about that poker player in California?
No.
That was going to this cash game that was broadcasted live on Twitch, and he was just watching it. He was watching people's cards while at the table. And over like a year and a half, he won $350,000 in this cash game.
Nice.
He would just go there and dominate. And he wasn't any good anywhere else. It wasn't like he was just a poker phenom or someone who was really good and just, you know, cleaning up on all these circuit events or anything like that. He was only good at one cash game, and he went there, and I think he sat down and won 86% of the time.
that's a pretty good rate.
And he was just – then, like, once they realized he was cheating because he was getting too good, he was making laydowns that were too good as if, like, he knew what the other cards were. Eventually, there was a moment in the broadcast where this woman who had been praising him for, like, the last months, like, calling him Poker Jesus and saying he's just the best reader in the world, she stopped at one moment and just said, how does he know? And then from that moment on, they launched an investigation, and then it was pretty simple, like, oh, wait, he keeps his phone in between his legs, and you can see him glance down at his lap frequently. It's pretty easy to catch after that.
You would think somebody would have noticed that in the game.
You would think, but they didn't.
He must have had the brightness turned down pretty low.
Either that or just no one thinks that's serious. And if you wear glasses and you constantly have something on your head, maybe it's easier. I don't know, but it's something as simple as, man, when you see these videos of the Astros and you just hear the banging on the trash can for off-speed pitches, seems pretty obvious too. And the bad part about things being obvious is when they come to light, there's no real denying them, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be like, oh, no, that's just coincidence. Like whistling now in 2019, you could say, hey, baseball players whistle all the time.
Yeah, they're just cheering on their team. Yeah, like, that's why they're banging on the trash can.
I was going to say, whistling's a little bit more natural to me than just, you got somebody here beating the hell out of a trash can letting you know.
Banging, let's go.
No, it's not that. It's just a thump.
Just once.
Yep, just a really loud bang, like thump, off-speed pitch, get ready for it. And if you know the off-speed pitch is coming, if you know the ball's breaking, you can tell where, you know, if it starts out low, it's going to get lower. If it starts outside, it's going to get further outside. If it's starting again inside, it's probably going to curve into the middle of the plate, and then boom, home runs.
It would be cool if an opposing fan had figured it out and gone to the game with like a little drum and just beat their
psyching
drum every time. Yeah, just mess them up that way.
It's crazy, though. And like I said, it's not a losing team. I don't want to say the Astros are the only team that's done this. The Red Sox got in trouble for this as well. Not with the cameras in the middle and banging on trash cans, but they got in trouble, I want to say, in 2017. For doing something with pitches and tipping and recording and stuff like that. But the Astros, they've been accused of this for a while, I think. And even, like I said, this playoff series, the manager then come out and had like a jerk response when the Yankees were doing it and said, if I knew this was all it took to get in the Yankees' head, this would have been a part of my plan in the spring training. Like, kind of like, ha, 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 no, we're not cheating. It's funny that you actually are so paranoid that we're cheating.
Whatever happened to just pure baseball, just, you know, a good day at the ballpark watching Barry Bonds just knock one out into
just the
bag.
Purity of the game.
Yeah, just, you know, when it didn't take a bunch of cheaters.
Yeah.
When you could just watch Mark McGwire just go out to a game and just see him do his thing, you know, see greatness for what it was. And then all of a sudden you got to start doing, you know, they're stealing signals.
You got to start taking shortcuts.
Yeah. Sickening.
It's funny because the Astros did go with a similar defense, like, hey, everyone's cheating. We're just doing – you know, they got in trouble. They got in trouble, like I said, and accused of, like, going to, like, other people's dugouts and, like, recording stuff. And then at the time when baseball investigated them, they were just like, no, we're just making sure they're not recording us. And baseball's like, okay, yeah, checks out. Sounds good. Yeah, the Red Sox got in trouble in 2017 for, like, doing something with their Apple Watches. I don't remember exactly what it was with the Apple Watches, but they got in trouble for that. So now the Astros, a team that's been really good the last couple years. And look, here's the thing. I still think they're cheating when it comes to pitching, too. Like, if you just look at the pitchers and, like, when guys get traded there, how good they all of a sudden are. Like, Justin Verlander looked almost done in Detroit. He got back down to Houston and was the best pitcher in baseball again.
Yeah, it all makes sense now.
Gerrit Cole was
it's all explained.
I don't know, call him an afterthought in Pittsburgh, but, I mean, he wasn't a beast like this. He gets to Houston and now is going to go make $250 million.
Suddenly he's amazing.
Yeah. You
know, we should have known all along there was something to it.
We'll see if baseball does anything about it. Stripping them of the World Series is probably not going to happen.
Seems pretty strong.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
If they did, though, I mean, I feel like we could claim it.
Go for it, man.
I mean,
no one's going to stop you.
Dodgers are the last team there.
Yeah, no one's going to stop you. Go for it.
All right, I'll claim it. I'm going to get a shirt made. 2017 World Champs.
Sell them. You can make some money. Cam, you got your overrated, underrated topics?
I do.
All right, let's play that next. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Boyd's Electric Services.
Very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Y'all ready to play overrated, underrated?
Yeah, let's go.
Sweet. All right. First up, we have the Oakland Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders are...
Do you not hit the drum?
Underrated. No, I didn't hear the drum.
They hit the damn drum.
That's why there was a little pause there.
Keep you on your toes, you know?
The one time I put my headphones on, now I wonder if Cam hits the drum every time or not.
I couldn't tell if the drum was playing and I just couldn't hear it or what.
Yeah, sometimes... all right, go ahead.
Oakland Raiders. The Raiders, I'm going to say right now they're underrated. And I say that because I think the Chiefs are taking a slide, and I think the Raiders are a legitimate contender for that division.
Wow.
And nobody...
Whoa, for the division?
For the division.
Oh, my God.
For the division. And nobody would have thought that coming into this season. I mean, everybody thought the Chiefs pretty much had it wrapped up, or the Chargers were that cute sleeper team.
So are the Broncos. Some people thought, hey, Vic Fangio getting his first crack. He's got a good shot.
Turns out the one you didn't want to talk about is the team that everybody's talking about, and John Gruden has done a good job of turning it around. And obviously they're winning on the trade with the Bears, you know, with the whole Khalil Mack thing.
Yeah.
They look good getting rid of Amari Cooper. I mean, it just everything.
I don't know if they look good about getting rid of Amari Cooper.
They got a first-round draft pick out of it.
Yeah, but then they wasted it on Antonio Brown. So I'm not going to give them credit for that one because
– Well, you could
– They need Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper would have really helped this team.
I thought they used it on Josh Jacobs. Or was that the other
– I think that's the one they used – no, they used the Chicago Bears pick to get Josh Jacobs. Because Cowboys weren't.
Cowboys gave them a first rounder, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but they used that to get.
Did they trade that for?
They might have got their secondary guy with that. The guy that got hurt.
Either way,
right? Because then the Bears. I mean, the Bears would have been picking around 28, right, or 27.
Yeah, because they were good.
Yeah,
so
they were better than the Cowboys last
year,
right?
Yeah,
I think Josh Jacobs came from their pick. Either way, I do feel like they need Amari Cooper still. They need a good wide receiver. They turned around and traded picks for Antonio Brown, so I'm not going to give them credit for that one.
Well, the talk about Oakland, regardless, is very positive right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think you got a lot of people saying that they can actually win the division. I think they can, so I go underrated.
I'll say underrated. The silver and black are back! I don't know if they'll win the division, but they got – I mean, I like Josh Jacobs and David Carr's a baller. Derek Carr's a baller.
David
probably was too. He just got stuck in Houston.
He's been out of the league a while.
Yeah, Derek Carr's a baller. John Gruden coaching pretty well. They're set up. They're moving. It's exciting right now. I don't know if they go in the division, but they can definitely make the wild card. Like I talked about after that Chargers game, they're staring 7-4 right in the face. It's got to beat the Jets and the Bengals.
They're going to be 7-4.
All right. Next up, we have so-called quality losses.
I think quality losses are a little bit overrated. A little bit. Especially like coming maybe if you'd asked me this on Tuesday, I would have said, oh, they're underrated. But now that like that's what the whole conversation I feel like has been about the college football playoffs. Well, who'd you lose to? Who'd you lose to? I feel like sometimes it's about who you beat too. So I think quality losses are getting a little bit too much credit, especially if you're just taking the final score into account. At no point did you really think – at no point in that – you know, it was just called the LSU-Alabama game because, I mean, that's where this is all coming from. At no point in the second half did Alabama have the ball with a chance to take the lead. Right? I mean, every time they had the ball, they were down two scores. It's correct, right?
I think so.
Every time in the second half, they
narrowed it to one score, but they didn't have the ball.
But they never got the ball back. They never got the stop they needed. So, like, they never were driving with a chance to take the lead. So, you know – that looking at that as a close loss, I think is really overrated. Now, if it's a true close loss, like I look at the 49ers and Seahawks as a true close loss. Like if the 49ers kick a field goal in overtime and win, I wouldn't have judged Seattle poorly in that game because that was just a hard-fought game. Same as I'm not judging the 49ers harshly because they lost a close game. So there's caveats to it. They can be underrated, but I think in this concept where we're talking about it on Wednesday, I think it's a little overrated.
When I think of quality losses, I think of it in a college basketball context usually because I think of, like, teams that schedule really tough.
Yeah, because it helps you there.
And I would call those underrated. But I assume this is from the playoff, from the college football playoff rankings.
It was up for interpretation.
Okay, well, I'll go underrated in college basketball, and I'll go overrated in college football. But I think if you play a larger number of games, like in basketball, if you've got a full schedule, I think teams get rewarded for scheduling tough.
It is,
and you can't really do that in college football.
It is still a little weird that it almost like you get more rewarded in college basketball for losing to good teams than beating bad teams.
Yeah, you do. You have 100%.
But that seems stupid.
You shouldn't get more credit
for playing the game than just winning, you know, playing the game and losing. Now, again, if you lose close games and you look like you're going toe-to-toe with them, that's one thing. But if you go in and play a top-ranked team and get beat by 15, I don't think you should get more credit for that than beating a loser team.
But, I mean, if I see a team that's 2-3, let's say a team's 2-3 and they've played five top 15 teams in a row.
Yeah, I understand like thinking they're better than a 5-0 team.
Even if the 5-0 team, you know, if they're beating North Carolina A&T or whoever, you know, South Carolina Tech or what, I mean, I think that is valuable to go toe-to-toe with teams and lose if they're elite teams.
Yeah, but I don't think it means that the team that loses those games is better than the team that's winning those other games. I think we're going to see this play out in football too with like Clemson. I think everyone's going to be sleeping on Clemson when it comes time for them to play because they haven't played anybody. And then I think Clemson's going to line up and be like, oh, yeah, we're really rested because we haven't played anybody. Our guys are all fresh and healthy.
Yeah, that could happen, couldn't it?
And just because you guys have a tougher schedule and maybe one loss or you've beaten quality opponents, that doesn't mean you're actually better than us. Because
everybody is sleeping on Clemson.
Yeah, everyone's written them off. And if I'm Dabo, I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, again, all of our guys are going to be healthy. No one's been beat up by a tough schedule. We're going to get there. And look, every now and then that happens, like with Florida State, when they try to go back-to-back and they got embarrassed by Oregon. Maybe you can't flip the switch, but I still think Clemson's going to get there and be like, hey, here's a reminder, we're still really, really good.
I hope not. I can't stand Clemson.
All right. Next up we have those people that dress up for, like, football games.
It's a good way of putting it.
They're weird. They're overrated. I don't even know what they bring to the table. Like, when we were at the Titans game, we were walking around, there was this one guy who, I kid you not, was by himself. Now, maybe it's sad. Maybe he used to have friends that came with him or family members, and they don't come anymore, and he continues the tradition. I would feel like a jerk if he heard me. Or maybe they were just a little late. Or maybe he's just a fanatic, but he had his truck decked out in Titan stickers. He had flags all over the parking lot. And then he was dressed up like a big blue thumbtack, and I was just like, bro, you're a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
You're a grown-ass man. I see people dressing up for Tennessee games. Grown-ass men dressing up. NFL people do it a little bit weirder, though, for sure. If you're going to, like, Comic-Con or something, I got no issue with that. If it's Halloween, got no issue with that. You're going to a football game. Your job as a fan is not to dress up. It's just to go and scream and be loud. You are a real weirdo if you dress up. You're trying to make it about you. You're trying to draw attention to yourself, and that's fine, but that means I think you're weird.
I mean, if the guy's going to take his time to do all that and put on all the makeup and do what it takes and carry that stuff around with him all day, more power to him. I mean, I think it's overrated. I think the people that, like you said, I mean, I think people that do that probably take it a little too seriously. But, you know, I mean, I do like seeing the guys, like, in the Raiders crowd.
Those guys are intimidating. Sometimes it works, but that's the only exception.
That I think that is the exception to the rule is the Raiders
maybe
guys.
If the Patriots had a bunch of people dressed up like the Founding Fathers, maybe
I'm
I could
sure
get behind that.
I'm sure they have before. I'm sure they have before. In general, though, I got to go overrated. And I don't like – I definitely don't like these guys at our basketball game.
I was getting
our
to read your
basketball games that are doing this.
I was getting ready to read your tweet. Can we get rid of the dumbass taco already?
I am so sick of that guy and his,
where this stems from.
And his comrades. Well, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of guys like that. But if you're going to do all the stuff, it's a little different at a football game. But really, it's just the Raiders crowd. Anybody that does that, I do think, is taking it too seriously.
Only the Raiders, man. The Raiders are the only ones who can do it.
Yeah, I think they got to be the exception to the
rule.
There were
two people dressed up like Indians, like Native Americans walking around. Two white people dressed up as Indians walking around taking pictures at the Titans-Chiefs games. And I just kept telling them that was racist, and they're culturally appropriating, and I don't like it.
Y'all are canceled.
They're just walking around, oh, tomahawk chopping. Oh,
what did they say to you?
They just ignored me because they know I'm right.
Bay the move.
How do you dress up as a Titan? What would you be as a Titan?
Like I said, that one guy was dressed up like a thumbtack. I don't know. He had like blue hair, and I don't know. I mean, you could dress up, I guess, like a warrior.
It just takes.
Like when the Titans have their mascots, it's just like people dressed up like, I mean, basically like the movie from 300, basically. Like shields and helmets and stuff.
I guess I don't really have a huge problem with it in general.
I think it's weird.
I actually know the guy who's the taco, and I can't stand the guy. So yeah. I think that's part of it. It's more personal.
Plus, I mean, he's just dressed up like a taco and not like a basket. Like
the
Davy
guy's
Crockett.
A total douche.
If he was dressed up like Davy Crockett, it might be a little different.
Yeah.
It's just a random thing to be dressed up like. Although, like, we did have this guy dressed up like a banana one time.
That was Halloween week. And
okay, that's
somebody dared me to do it. So
Halloween week's a little different.
But that's cool, because Cam's cool.
Yeah.
That guy, that other guy's cool. A jerk, you know?
Cam is like, cool. It works for Cam.
It depends on who's doing it.
I don't know that guy.
Like I've had other friends that have dressed up as stuff before. Okay. I had a guy dress up as a cheeseburger one time.
I think that's weird.
But he was a student. I just got a problem with this guy because he's not cool. He's like 26 years old.
Is he not a student?
No, he might be a student, but he's like 26 years old. I don't know if he's still a
student. We're not shaming older students. Everyone's on the same career path.
I understand
that. Is he a troop? Did he go like do a tour somewhere?
No.
Go back to school afterwards?
I told you about the guy. He came to my Christmas or my Super Bowl party. I don't know how I got the invite. He was just, he's very much.
He's drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade, I remember.
Yeah, he's just a jerk. He's just, didn't care for him.
All right.
I'll go overrated, Kim.
Okay. Well, next up we have putting up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving.
Overrated. Don't do it. Although, are there Thanksgiving decorations? We got to roll at the house. We're not putting anything up until, like, the Friday after Christmas or the Friday after Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving night, maybe, if you get the itch. That's it. Can't do it before.
I agree with you. That's the proper way of doing things. Yep. I think Black Friday is supposed to be the official day. That's when you bring out the Christmas tree if you want. You start putting things up. You start decorating then. I think doing the major decorations are a little overrated in general. Like I couldn't imagine putting up lights like outside. Of course, I don't have a house, so it's a lot easier in an apartment. But I like decorating inside. You know, give it that Christmas feel. I mean, you got to have a tree. Brandon was asking me the other day, he's like, are we going to have a tree?
I think it's weird.
So, of course we're going to have a tree.
I think it's weird if three guys live together and put up a tree.
That's not weird. That's not weird at all.
Me and my roommates never did that. Cam, what do you think?
I didn't have a full tree, but once I had like a small one.
Was it you and like other people living together or just you?
Yeah, it was me and some other people.
You put it in the living room?
Yeah, it was just like a small one we put like next to the TV.
What's weird about having a tree?
Maybe it's not weird.
We can't enjoy Christmas because we don't have women in the house?
Correct. Well, not so much the women.
Well, my mom sent me mine. Oh, so I kind of was like, well, I got to put this up.
Did you do it to maybe impress women that came over?
We did host some Christmas events.
Yeah, that's different.
That is factual.
Are you guys going to have hosting
women? I like turning off all the lights, and you're just sitting there watching TV. And
you and your two boys.
And your only light is your Christmas tree. No, it puts me in the Christmas feel. It's not romantic.
It's kind of romantic.
No, it's not.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's 2019. Like, that's fine. I just think it's
just
not something I did with my friends. I don't know.
It's the Christmas feel.
Are you guys going to watch, like, Hallmark movies together?
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Drink eggnog and listen to Baby, It's Cold Outside.
We're not gay.
It's okay. That's not what it's fine.
Yeah. I know it's fine, but we're not.
Okay.
What is so? I can't have a Christmas tree.
I kind of agree with Cam that it seems kind of romantic.
No.
The Christmas tree. Yeah, but you turn down all the lights just to have the Christmas.
Yeah, like
lights.
It sets
that's
the mood.
That's a mood.
Do you light? Do you just like light a candle sometimes with you and your boys?
Yeah.
And turn the lights out.
Sometimes with the TV on and the candle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with candles? We have several candles.
I just kind of think of it as setting the mood. No big deal.
Yeah, you're very judgmental.
Okay.
And I got pictures with him, so I can.
Okay.
But
my buddy Mo
from back home.
Yeah, from back home.